following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Okay, tonight we're just going to look at a couple of verses, and then we're going to do ministry. Because the title tonight is, Clint, get this, Just Invite the Spirit to Come. Just invite the Spirit to come. Turn to John 16:7. What I want to show you tonight is how incredibly easy it is to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to even raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. It's really easy. Do y'all remember Jesus saying something like, my yoke is what? My burden is light. I really believe that the greatest works of Jesus are such that a child could do them. Jesus said, except you become as a child, you can't enter. And we tend to get all complicated and theological. Well, I don't know, maybe some, not everybody here gets all theological. Well, we tend to get complicated in our mind. We tend to build up all these defense mechanisms, why this and I can't that. And I'm going to show you that the key to all supernatural ministry is the title of the teaching tonight, Just Invite the Spirit to Come. And Jesus talks in verse 7 of John 16. This is at the Last Supper. Nevertheless, I tell you guys the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now let's stop there. Jesus literally said, look, it's really necessary that I depart the scene. I've been here 3.5 years. I know you guys think I'm just starting off. You understand, I'm pretty much done. I'm leaving, and when I leave, someone else will come. Well, they don't understand who he's talking about at this point. They have no clue who the Comforter is. But he went on in Luke, right before he ascended to heaven, he told the guys to wait. Remember, tarry in Jerusalem and wait to be endued with power. In Acts 1, he says, but you receive power when the Holy Ghost has come. And we saw the Holy Spirit come in Acts 2. The church was born. And we saw the whole book of Acts is basically just a manifestation of the Spirit of God, of Jesus, in a different way. The four Gospels are Jesus in the flesh, but the book of Acts is Jesus by His Spirit working through His people. And so it was a whole different phenomenon. But at the time here in John, they didn't understand what he's talking about. It's necessary that I go, that the Spirit can come. And when the Spirit comes, he comes with gifts. Okay? He comes with whatever is needed. Look at verse 8. But when he has come, look at this, he will reprove, or the world is convinced, or convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of sin. He's a convictor. He'll convict, because they don't believe in me, of righteousness. I'm going to the Father. You'll see me no more. Of judgment. The prince of this world is judged. He said, when the Spirit comes, he's going to come with a job. And what the Spirit is going to come with is to bring conviction, to bring reproof, to bring manifestation of who Jesus is. Goes on to say in another place. In fact, he says that in verse 15:26. He says, when the Comforter has come, whom I will send to you from my Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. So when the Spirit comes, he will manifest the person of Jesus. When the Spirit comes, he comes with gifts. Empowerment gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, we call them. The Spirit comes, he comes with everything you need. I'll never forget, I was, actually, interestingly enough, had a phone call yesterday from a young man, who his wife needed some deliverance to go to a big church here in town. And he had remembered me. He had known me from in 1989-90 when I first came to Pasadena to visit and moved here a year or two later. Bob Russell's son, his name's Dean. And he called me up. We were talking about some things, issues of deliverance. And it brought to my mind, Bob Russell is a gentleman that was kind of involved in the early stages of our church. He's a kind of an elder figure here in the Pasadena area. He's involved in another church in deliverance. I never forget, I was sitting in his living room once with a young man who was, I think he was a youth leader over here at Faith Assembly of God. He now pastors a pretty vivacious church, Assembly of God church. But he was just then pondering about leaving his role as a youth leader to work, open a church up. And he came over to Bob's because Bob encouraged him to come and meet me. And I ended up sitting down with this fellow. We were all sitting down around the floor. And Bob had these big kind of a hassock thing, you know, like a, wasn't a couch or something you'd sit on and put your feet on, but a big old deal. We're all sitting around that. I was talking to him and about three or four other people in the room about deliverance, about the powers of the Holy Spirit and this kind of thing. We had been in church a couple of years, and we were seeing significant manifestations of God's power. And I was privileged to share this with these guys and this one fella. And I forget, he said, well, Bob said, would you pray for them? Well, so this one guy, I prayed for him. And he was on the other side of that hassock. I put my hand on his head, and the power of the Lord knocked him back against the wall. And I saw a vision. I'll never forget this vision. When he got knocked back, I saw literally in the room. Imagine this is the living room. I was sitting where Hallie is. I actually saw an angel coming from that corner of the room. And in the spirit, the angel had big armloads of presents. Looked like Santa Claus, only without the big sack, like if he carried them. It was all these presents with, you know, ribbons and bows. And I watched this angel. Now, I don't know if y'all know about seeing in the spirit, but I wasn't looking in that direction, and yet I was seeing it. Are y'all understanding? When you see in the spirit, you actually can see sometimes better with your eyes closed, okay? But I was seeing it. I was actually looking at this angel came across the room and landed on this fella. Basically, that's what knocked him down, was this angelic presence with these gifts. And I'd never seen anything like that in my life. And I turned to him and I said, I forget his name now. I saw him at a pastor's conference a couple of years back. I said, you know, the Lord has many, many gifts coming for you. So I was able to speak a prophetic word to him. Sure enough, he's had a powerful, powerful ministry ever since. He birthed that church, and God really blessed him in many, many ways. I never forget, it spoke to me that we invited the Spirit to come, because that was my whole thing I was teaching them that night, was invite the Spirit to come. And the Spirit literally sent an angel with gifts. Now that was what was needed. That fella, that's what he needed, because he was fixing a birth of work, and he was insecure. And he needed a prophetic word to encourage him that God was going to be there amply to provide, and he did. You know, and God's Spirit always comes with whatever we need. Whenever we ask. In fact, look at verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatever he hears, he'll speak. And he will show you things to come. He'll glorify me and receive of mine and show it to you. Now, y'all, do your versions read all truth? You know what that says to me? The Spirit comes to bring. In fact, there's another place he calls him the Spirit of truth. Look at 14:16. I will pray the Father, he will give you another comforter that may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So here's the thing. When the Spirit comes, he is the Spirit of truth, guide us into all truth. One thing the Spirit of the Lord is absolutely doing is exposing every lie. He's absolutely cannot tolerate and countenance the least little lie or deception or dishonesty in your personality, in your character. I mean, God hates lying. This is a righteous man hates lying. And he hates a lying tongue. And the first thing the Spirit's going to do is come in and convict you of the lies. One way you know someone's Spirit-filled is they don't lie. Or if they do lie, they're repentant. And they don't want to lie. One way to know someone does not have the Spirit of God is they're a liar. And they lie and they have no conscience about lying. And lying, I don't know if you know, it can send you to hell. Says in John 8:44 that Satan is a father of lies. And what's that, Revelation 21:8? All liars have their part in the lake of fire. Lying is a wicked thing. It's a wicked thing. You know, it's absolutely opposite to God, who's light in the Spirit of truth. And it is the snare that gets someone into satanic deception and wickedness. So one of the things the Spirit does is convict you of lies and dishonesties. And God wants it. There's a verse in Psalm, in fact, turn here. Let me show you how deep he works. Psalm 15. Look at this. Psalm 15, verse 2. Talks about who will abide in the hill, who will dwell in the holy hill. It's basically talks about those who can walk in the Spirit and abide in God's presence. You got to see this, Psalm 15:2. He that walks uprightly, works righteousness, look at this, and speaks the truth in his heart. Do y'all see that verse? Speaks the truth in his heart. In other words, from the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. If you're not speaking the truth in your heart, it's not going to come out of your mouth. If you're lying to yourself, guys, you're not going to speak the truth. And one of the worst things in the world is to lie to yourself. Have you ever, any of y'all ever done that? Tried to kid yourself? You know something's not true, but for convenience sake or take away pain or whatever, you deliberately choose to believe something that you know not true to be true, although, or that's not to be true, not to be true? Have you ever done that? What's the consequence of that? Darkness comes in your mind, man. I mean, you demonize. You demon bait. It screws your head up. Confusion and misery, and it just, it's a miserable thing. And finally you repent and you come to the light. In fact, here's a passage for that, 2 Corinthians 4. This is what you do when you're miserable. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2. But we have renounced, look at this, the hidden things of dishonesty. Is that how your versions read? Not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You know, it's absolutely essential you walk in truth and honesty. And that, if anything, will open you to the Spirit of God. It's an honest, humble heart. Okay? God's just looking for honesty and truth. Amen? Any liars out there? Well, the truth is, we all got to say amen. Every one of us, at some time or another, has lied. Can you hear an amen? But what is the Spirit trying to do? I'll show you. Ephesians 4, verse 25. This is what he tells you to do. Ephesians 4, 25. He says, wherefore, look at this, putting away lying. Ephesians 4, 25. Wherefore, putting away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbors, for we are members one of another. So, the bottom line is the Spirit of God comes with His truth and honesty. I've found that when I'm really honest with myself, particularly speaking truth in my heart with God, that the Spirit is open. I can hear His voice. You know, it's really cool to hear God's voice. I got this new Bible. I ordered it. Turned out we had some extra money in PayPal. Somebody donated. So I went and bought this Dake. Y'all know what Dake's Bible is? Dake's Bible is, I had one back in the early 70s. It was real popular back then, the Jesus movement. And he's, yeah, got some bones in there. You got to pick them out. But there is, for every scripture, there's 16 paragraphs of commentary. I mean, for instance, this morning, I was sharing this in our morning prayer. I was reading about the Urim and Thummim. The Urim and who? Y'all know what the Urim and Thummim is? Well, if you do, the Bible scholars don't even know. Well, the Urim and Thummim, they don't really know what it is. But boy, I tell you, Dake, he takes you down to just about almost. He just analyzes, gives you the Hebrew, gives you the background, gives you the historical history. It's amazing teaching. And I love this book. But anyway, I was sitting there with the Dake, and I was kind of pulling around because the pages are so big. The scripture's way up here in the corner, and the rest is commentary. It's kind of fun stuff. You can find it, like, my favorite chapter is Daniel 11. Well, I ever read Daniel 11. Daniel 11 is an amazing chapter. Y'all know the chapter I'm talking about? It is the chapter that the angel gave to Daniel after fasting for 3 weeks, and it was history ahead of time. It's literally telling about exactly this king's going to do this, and this nation, and they're going to do this, and this. Hundreds of years ahead of that in detail. Well, it's fascinating. If you don't, it's really difficult to read. So you got to have a commentary. John MacArthur's done a really good commentary on it. I've gotten that. But I like Dake, and they literally, what they'll do is they'll go back and they'll describe in detail what was prophetically said all the way up to Antichrist. So anyway, I'm digging around in Dake and looking, and I'm, it was the last night, I think, or night before. And I was looking at it, and I just kind of paused a second, and I heard God's Spirit clear as a bell in my ear. And He said, Psalm 37. I went, whoa. Okay. I mean, it's just clear as a bell. He was enjoying reading the book with me, too. So I flipped over to Psalm 37, And sure enough, all these verses just begin to come out, flow out of Psalm 37 in my mind about trusting the Lord. You know, I believe the Spirit of God, if we read the Word, if we're open to the Word, God will speak to us through His Word. Amen? And I was digging around on kind of obscure prophetic verses, and the Lord wanted me to read Psalm 37. So I turned over to it. Sure enough, it was speaking all kind of things about trusting, believing God, and these kind of things. Look at Acts 10:38. We're just going to look at one or two more places. I'm going to get y'all out early today. I'm going to get you out early, man. Get you home. In bed, under the blankets, drinking hot chocolate, out eating Mexican food. I mean, y'all, okay, tending to your farm. Okay, we got some farmers here. Acts 10:38. Acts 10:38. You know, I heard a preacher say the other day, he listened to a podcast. He said one of his favorite times of the day is 10:38. He says, because every time he sees that time on the clock, it reminds him of this verse. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? And with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were pressed to the devil, for God was with him. Now, that verse is an amazing verse. It sums up the life of Jesus. But what's interesting is, who did he heal? Some? I mean, this, if you really ponder on this, it will mess with your theology. He healed all that came. Now, I've done a lot of teaching, and I actually believe there are passages in the Old Testament, and I can prove it. Norman Parrish has taught it. I've taught it myself. One of my sermons is how pride can make you sick. There are things you do. In fact, there are even scriptures where God will smite someone with disease. Did you know that? He smote Asa with sickness in his feet. There are many examples of how God, the evil spirit from the Lord, came to Saul. Remember those verses? There's a lot of passages how sickness and disease at times were means of judgment. And that's totally, legitimately, principles of understood that you cross certain lines, you open doors. But I want to tell you something that's kind of revelatory to me, but it makes sense. That Jesus said, I'm off the boat, man. I'm breathing this air again. Jesus said, the law and the prophets were until John. Okay? But after that, the kingdom of heaven is preached, and every man presses into it. He says, and even though John was the greatest prophet of all, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. There was some line drawn. Okay, between the old and new. There's something drawn. And what it is this. That Jesus showed up, and Jesus trumps everything. That's what I'm getting. Is you can see Jesus, he didn't differentiate. He healed everybody. And everything. And how many of y'all know some of the people that he healed probably had pride? Or maybe were laboring under judgment that's brought in their sin. They were sick, or diseased, or maybe even dead because of consequences of sin. Can you imagine? The difference was Jesus came with mercy. See, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by. He came to heal everybody. He gave a parable. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a sower who went out to sow his seed, and he threw it on everything. It's almost like in the Old Testament, it would have been the sower sowed the seed only on the good ground. I mean, think about it. In the Old Testament, the only ones that got the Spirit were the holy men, the prophets, right? In fact, old Elisha, dude, he wanted twice the Spirit. He had to, you know, walk the talk and toe the line to get it. Well, only if you see me when I lead, then you'll get double the Spirit. Otherwise, no. I mean, you know, one time when the Spirit of the Lord came on the 70 elders with Moses and these other two guys, Medad and Eldad, were prophesying outside the camp. Old Joshua ran in and said, hey, man, it's not fair. They're prophesying. They're not part of the 70. And Moses said, are you envying for me for the Lord's sake? I said, would to God that all of God's people had the Spirit. And Joel prophesied that one day, as far as they knew, eons to come, one day God would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. This was an unimaginable notion because the sower was just sowing the seed on certain ground. But Jesus shows up. It's like he doesn't differentiate. You know, it's just, I mean, Jesus shows up. It's almost like he eats with sinners, man. I mean, he's, you know, drinking. Did you know Jesus drank? I'm sorry, he says, they said that John the Baptist was, he ate honey and bugs, and Jesus was a wine bibber. He went to parties where they drank. Back one time, they run a little low. He said, no problem, dude. Turned and kicked in some more wine. Whoa, I can see people grabbing for this CD even now, scrambling to throw it out the window. I'm not saying he was a drunk, no. But I'm saying Jesus had no problem meeting people where they are. He came with a whole different, and he said, until then, the kingdom of God is, every man presses into it, and it's all about Jesus healed everybody. He healed them all. That's amazing. Because he knew the mercy of God would lead people to repentance. You know how that's applicable to us? That we can expect God to come if we invite Jesus by the Spirit to heal in every case. I mean, guys, he'll even heal if they're not repentant. Now, I'm not saying they don't need to be repentant. No. But I'm saying Jesus is so full of mercy, he may heal anyway. Amen? Just to reach their heart. Just because he loves them. That's what he means, heal all. Notice it was by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's conclude this, Luke 11:3. And then we're going to do it. We'll conclude it unless the Lord quickens another verse. You never know. We're almost at the airport here. I've already contacted the tower. I'm looking for a runway to land on. We've got our flaps down. We're fixing to lower the wheels. What's that? I need to go back up and circle a few times. What's that? We need to go back to another town? Okay, Luke 11:3. I want to show you something amazing here. The verses you've probably read many times. You've never connected these dots. In the Lord's Prayer, in 11:2, he says, when you pray, I say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. It will be done as in heaven as in earth. So in earth. We've talked about really that is our mandate. We are seated in heavenly places. Our role is to bring the heavens to the earth. Amen? Whatever is in heaven, to bring it to earth. Whatever you bind on earth shall be. Whatever you loose on earth shall be what's been loosed in heaven. That's our role. And what's in heaven? There's no sick people. See, do y'all know? Listen to this. In the Old Testament, the heavens were not open. Did you know that heaven was uninhabited in the Old Testament? Well, I take it back. There were angels up there. And Jesus. Well, and the Father. And 16 trillion angels. But there are no people. The people were down there somewhere else. The abode of the dead, paradise, city of refuge, Abraham's bosom, whatever you want to call it. And we're told in Psalm 68 and Ephesians 4, and other places, that when Jesus died, that between the time he died and rose from the dead, he descended and he led captivity captive. Okay? And literally, he led a train, as it were. It says this in Zechariah 14, Jeremiah, I think it's 31, these fascinating verses, about he led this wonderful train. Second Peter talks about he preached to the spirits in prison. This wonderful train of Old Testament saints to inhabit the heavenlies. Okay? They landed in the heavenlies. And why? Because, well, there's different beliefs. One scholar says maybe heaven was still stained by Lucifer's sin. I don't know. But I do know that the blood had to be shed. And Jesus came to the Father and made a way for his sons and daughters to live in the heavenly places. So in the New Testament, now we can say, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven as on earth. That couldn't have been said in the Old Testament because they weren't in heaven. See, it says, we're seated in heavenly places. That was not applicable to Old Testament people. They weren't seated in heavenly places. In fact, it says in, is it 2 Peter? Or 1 Peter, that the angels themselves do not comprehend or understand or even cannot get their minds around what this redemption thing and what the blood is that we have. And we're able to come from the depths to live in the heights. So anyway, then after that he says, give us this day our daily bread. Now I want to show you that he really focuses on that. He really elaborates on that. Think a minute. Give us this day by day, our daily bread. Do you know one translation reads, give us today the bread of tomorrow? One translation says that. But I want to show you something. Look at verse 5. Skip over verse 4. Look over. It's almost like he's going to elaborate on this. Give us this day our daily bread. He says, which of you, in verse 5, shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me what? 3 loaves. So he's talking about bread. Now, follow his thinking. He's saying, your prayer needs to be, when you're in the heavenlies, you need to be free to come and ask me for bread. The sustenance of life. Bread is a significant thing. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. It's the very thing Satan tried to tempt him to the presumptuous eternal rock into. It's what he multiplied abundantly and testified of God's miracles. So here he is saying, you need to ask for daily bread. And ironically, it's kind of a type of manna. Remember, he fed the Israelites for 40 years with daily bread. It was a heavenly gift every day that came down from heaven to feed, to sustain them. So he says, you ask for bread. He says, now, go to God at midnight. Now, it's not the best time to go knocking on the door saying you got a couple loaves of bread. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. I don't know if you know, but in the Jewish culture, the greatest insult in the world was not to have something to be hospitable to your visitors. I mean, you'd do anything at all if someone came to your house to be hospitable to them. I've actually experienced that in other cultures. You don't experience it much here in America. When I was in Madras, India, to the pastor Meshach, what was his name? And I was privileged to stay at his house. He and his wife had me sleep in his bed, their bed, and they slept on the floor in the living room. And I was embarrassed. I said, you know, Meshach, it's cool. I was kind of the visiting preacher. I said, I don't need that. I can sleep in a guy. Oh, I got to the point I realized I would offend them to not let them do that. It was being offensive. It was very important to them that they give me that level of hospitality, which would have been unheard of in our culture. And that's how it was. So this guy was willing to go wake up somebody else at midnight. I need some bread to put before my visitor. Well, the friend, he wakes up, and he from within says, what are you doing? Don't trouble me. The door's shut. My kids are with me in bed. I can't rise and give it to you. It's 2 a.m. It's midnight. What are you doing? Now, is that an unreasonable response? No, it's about what? Somebody calls you at 3 a.m. Why is it all the demons manifest at 3 a.m? I'm kidding. And then he said, I say unto you, though he rise not and give him, look at this, because he's his friend, he will rise and give him because of his importunity as much as he... Now, is that how your versions... What version does your... Word does your versions use? I can't hear you. Importunity must be an old King James word. Persistence. In other words, he knocked on the door. I need some bread. Somebody showed up midnight. Got to feed him. God says, are you nuts? He can hear it through the door. I'm in bed. It's late. I need the bread. Oh, you what? And he hears all this commotion. Finally, God says, man, the only way I'm going to get rid of him is to give him the bread. So finally, the door opens up with the chain and a bunch of bread. A hand sticks out with the bread. Here, take your bread. I took the bread and he was out of there. Why? Because he was persistent. And Jesus said, look, even though he's his friend, it was his persistence. Now watch this. Watch how what he segues into. This is amazing. Remember, it started with, give us this day our daily bread. You're making a petition to God. All right? And he's saying, your attitude needs to be, you're going to be hard-headed about it. You recognize there's a need. Now, what's interesting about the need is it's someone else's need you're going to for. Do you see that? I want you to see that. You're bugging the master of the house for somebody else. Do you see that? That's very important. It's not like for yourself. I really believe a lot of times God comes with great power when you pray for someone else than when you pray for yourself. Amen? When you bug God, when you go to the Lord about somebody else. Unfortunately, a lot of our prayers are about me, my, and mine. When you pray for somebody else, when you're hounding heaven because you're grieved about a person someone else, then God hears. So what he says, then he says, look, I say ask, and it'll be given. Seek, if I knock, he just talked about knocking, it's going to be open to you. I am not going to yell from heaven, I'm in bed. For everyone that asks receives. And he that seeks finds. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. Now watch this. If a son shall ask what? There it is again. Bread. Of you that's a father, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or for an egg? Dad, would you pass the eggs, please?
Sure, son. Here's a scorpion. Okay, Dad, I think I'll skip breakfast this morning. Thank you. Whatever. If you then being evil,
what he's saying, even evil people are going to give an egg rather than a scorpion, one would hope. A fish instead of a snake. Would you pass some of that catfish over here?
Catfish, huh?
No. If you then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Now watch this. He's saying, if you then, remember he typed out that man in bed, and your persistence is getting it up. If you being even evil, Jesus really buttered up his crowd. Did you know that? If you being evil, he didn't speak of their potential. You know, that they have, if you out of touch with the champion within. He didn't talk about the champion within. I wonder why. He called them evil. He must not have been going for a big book deal or something, right? Anyway, if you being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more, I want you, here we go, shall your heavenly Father give what? Whoa, where'd that come from? To ask him. What has he been talking about in this whole chapter? Bread, the sustenance of life, persistence, that God is so much more gracious than even evil people. And he closes it by saying, if you ask for the Holy Spirit. It's almost like that's where he was taking them. He was leading them. And they don't really understand who the Holy Spirit is yet. Do you understand that? That the Holy Spirit didn't come. And John, he went as they called him, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. They didn't know who the Holy Spirit was. The manifestation of the threefold nature of God was not clear to the church till after the ascension, after the birth of the church. Then they began to put it together. Okay. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So Jesus just gave them and gave to you and I the secret. The secret. Frankly, to just about everything in life. It's to ask for the Holy Spirit. Isn't that interesting? And what he says is when you ask for the Holy Spirit, you're going to get the Holy Spirit. Somebody says, well, when you ask the Spirit to come, how do you know a demon doesn't come? Well, it's simple, because when I ask my Father for bread, he does not give me a stone. Amen? When I ask my Father for an egg, he does not give me a scorpion. When I ask for the Holy Spirit, I'm going to get the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And that's a powerful truth. So, folks, we have here the secret to all healing. You know what it is? It's the title of the sermon, Just Invite the Spirit to Come. There's no formulas needed. You don't need any formulas to heal. You don't have to do anything. You just invite the Spirit to come. And then you be sensitive to what the Spirit wants to do. That's really all there is to it. And God wants to build a faith so that now when there's a need and we ask Him, He will come. And I believe the Spirit will always come when you invite Him. Now, He may not always do what you expect Him to do. Right? His heart is to heal. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power went about healing all. He wants to heal. He wants to deliver. He wants to convict, cleanse, comfort, whatever. But He always comes. Sometimes He'll come like just a gentle breeze. Right? Didn't He come as a roaring wind? The word spirit, by the way, in the Greek and Hebrew. In the Hebrew it's ruach. In the Greek it's pneuma. Both words mean wind. He comes like a wind. Sometimes he comes like a steady breeze. Sometimes he comes like a gale. A gale wind. He's just whatever. He's typed out as oil or fire or water, or a dove. All these types of the Spirit. He comes in all those manifestations. Sometimes he'll come like a fire. Sometimes he'll come like gentle rain, mist. Sometimes he'll come like oil, honey. Can you hear an amen? The Spirit of God. And the beauty of this is all it takes to heal is inviting to come. And I think the message in this passage in Luke 11 is Jesus is saying, look, this is something you need to pray for every day. Give us this day our daily bread. This is part of my mandate. You're in heaven. My kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Now, what are you supposed to do? Give us this day our daily bread. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to invite the Holy Spirit to come and do what he wants to do here on the earth in people's lives. And I think that another teaching here is it has to do with the needs of others. That's not to say you can't invite the Holy Spirit to come in yourself. You can. And he will. But I'm telling you, when you learn to pray for others, sometimes it'll slop back on you. When you do unto others, God comes back to you. I know the whole way I learned so many things in this ministry was just praying for people and ministering to people, hurting, needy people. And the Holy Spirit taught me. So that's really the teaching tonight. Just invite the Spirit to come. Amen? How many of y'all want to do it? How many of you are going to do it even if you don't want to do it? Well, what I want to do, we have a smaller crowd tonight, but everybody here has a need, right? But some people, there's a particular pressing need. A need so much that you know you need the Lord to do something tonight in your life. All right? There's twofold here. One, I want to teach us a little bit how to minister to the need. And second, I want us to receive the ministry of the need. All right. But the first thing is to how to minister to the need is to do nothing more than invite the Spirit to come. And we tend to forget that. This flies in the face of most evangelical teaching today about healing. You know, it's just really, it's kind of, humbling. That you're not the great one. There's nothing particularly great about you. You invite the Spirit to come, and your job is to recognize what he's doing and cooperate. Well, we found one of the best ways to do that when you're praying for healing is to ask the person what God's doing. Ask him, what are you feeling? What are you sensing? You know, when the Spirit comes, I've talked about that before, he manifests a certain phenomena. You know, come like a weight or joy or pressure or warmth, like our sister had, or tingling, or you know, a revelation, or sometimes nothing at all. He comes, but we expect him. When we invite him to come, we expect him to come. So sometimes it's good to keep your eyes open when you're praying, because you expect to see something. So who needs prayer tonight? Who needs a particular touch of the Holy Spirit? Why don't we get about three or four people up here? Come on up, because I want to model this. We're going to do it a little different. Why don't we just Yeah, three or four people. Don't just stand kind of on the line and face out you and Jeffrey. Come on, Ivan. Mike. Okay, Clint. Want prayer? You alright? Okay. Now I need a few people left to pray. Go ahead, babe. You need to get up there? Go ahead. No, go on. Go on, Trey. Okay. Now, what I want. Some of y'all have done this 1,000 times anyway. We're going to model it for those who haven't seen it much. I want 2 people to go in front of each person. Take your pick. 2 people. We're just going to do a little experiment here. 2 people per person. And once you reach two, we can pile on and get more than 2. But at least 2 people per person. Doesn't matter who. This young man needs 2. All right, now. Guys, I know some of y'all have done this, heard this, and know exactly. Yeah, can you spread out? I know some of y'all have done this many times. This is old hat to you. Hey, please bear with me a little bit, just for teaching's sake and modeling's sake. And we need one more person with him. Hallie? All right. All right, now, what I want you to do right now is just to, if you're praying for the person, y'all just invite the Holy Spirit to come. Just come, Lord. Now, first the person has to tell you what the need is. So, share what your need is. Doesn't have to go in a lot of detail. just kind of give a brief summary of the need without going a lot of detail. Physical, spiritual. And as soon as you get the need heard, and then you invite the Spirit to come. I want us to do, somebody say, okay, now let's let him, invite him. And then you wait. And you watch. And you listen. And you ask questions. Come, Lord. You hear what I'm saying? You wait. And you watch. You listen. And you ask questions. As you let the Spirit come. Lord, I pray that you would raise our faith. Okay? Okay. Just get prayer there, Rena. Just ask her to pray for you. You shared the need. All right. And just invite the Spirit to come. Now, guy, the Spirit may come with conviction, rebuke, cleansing, mercy, healing. Lord, I ask you to come right now. Come, Lord. Come. And just be in a receiving posture. Jesus. Jesus. Come, Holy Ghost. Just let him come. Sometimes you have to wait a bit. Sometimes he comes right away. Sometimes it takes a while. Has to break through stuff, demonic stuff. And if you're praying, ask the Lord to give you discernment. Say, Lord, pray things like, Lord, open my eyes to see what you're doing. You know, don't be passive. Kind of be aggressive in waiting, an aggressive waiter. Open my eyes to see what you're doing. Open my sensitivity to what you're doing. Come, Holy Ghost. You do it. And then pray. If it's healing, Lord, come and heal. Speak to the area as the Lord leads you. He may give a word to you. He may give you a reproof or an exhortation, encouragement. He may give a hard word or a soft word, whatever. Whatever is necessary to set the captive free. Jesus. 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 Lord, teach us to wait. Teach us to hear your voice, Lord. Jesus. Lord, let the Spirit cook. It takes water a minute to boil, but once it stops boiling, things start happening. Come, Holy Ghost. If you're being prayed for, you need to be cooperative. You need to say, yes, Lord. Whatever it takes, I need you to touch me. I expose, I lay it all down at your feet. I'm vulnerable to you, Jesus. Whatever I need the Spirit of God, the fire, the wind, oil, the conviction, the sword, whatever you got, Jesus. Come, Holy Ghost. Lord, may give a prophetic word. May see a vision. Put your hand right on that and start speaking to it. See? Got to be creative, guys. If you sense it's a demon, start speaking to it, Bo. Tell it. Address the thing. When you pray for people, you got to be really outside the box sometimes. You got to pray as the Spirit leads. And no formulas here. Jesus did all kind of things. Spit in people's eyes. Just speak to it. Lord, I pray you open understanding in the Spirit. Discernment. Clarity. Perspective. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Invite the Lord to come. Jesus. Jesus. More, Lord. Let the Spirit do what He's going to do tonight. Oh, we just pray you pour your Spirit on little Jeffrey tonight. Come, Holy Ghost. We ask that your Spirit would come and touch Jeffrey tonight. Come, Holy Spirit. We petition you to come and pour the healing of Jesus. Come, Lord. On each of these, Jesus. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.